So we're going to Aleph Beis. So we talk about Avos Hashem and Bitochen and Gaiva. So the next one is Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So it's Dvar Sheker. So Dalet Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So again, it's always fascinating to watch the Rosh when he puts the different ideas together. He says Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So, Pasuk and Chumash, right? Midrash Shechat Tirchok, which again, is, you know, he said in the last verse, also says in the Kula of Laharchik. It's to conceptualize the concept of Sheker should be something which is conceptually is beyond your realm. You don't even think about the possibility. That's the goal. That's the final goal. It's not don't say Sheker. He said Midrash Shechat Tirchok, totally distance yourself from the concept of Sheker. So myself. The Rogachover, somebody came to Rogachover and he asked him for Haskoma. So Rogachover wrote the Haskoma, like, a few lines on top. He wrote his name all the way on the bottom. So he asked him, like, what's the Peshat? He said, Midrash Shechat Tirchok. That was the end of that fellow's Haskoma. But so the Musa, you're marking yourself. So again, that's the first Nakuda. They said, "Well, Toti Shem Shemayim and Levatolo." Lo b'malkem and Tum. So, a person says, "Shem Shemayim and Levatolo." So, Pashas, what's the side of the concept of Emes and Sheker? The side of the concept of the Sheker is a person has a recognition that there's a concept of reality and non-reality. Most of us live in some way. We live in the world of non-reality. We live in a world of dimyan. We have our ways of perceiving things which are not necessarily real. It's fascinating to hear Chazal say that when it comes to Eidus, and most of the Ramilei in is Labadaita. If it's not his responsibility, the person is not necessarily aware of it. You know, two people will give you their version of exactly what happened, and they're both different. Two people standing in the same situation, watching the same thing, and they get two different versions of what happened. Now, how did that happen?
All right.
So, on the other hand, you have, on the other end of the spectrum, you have, that they say over from, Sodok, I think, said it from the Rizal, that a person who only says Emes, he never says Sheker B'chol, he's totally makbar Emes, even his dreams are true. So you have a person where the reality is false, and a person where his dreams are true. So the answer is, there's no real the definition of reality is a Kadosh Baruch Hu is real. Kadosh Baruch Hu is real, as much as a person is able to connect into that reality. So then he learns how to react to the reality of the world properly. And vice versa, a person who reacts to the world, reality of the world, he seeks Emes, he will be able to find the reality of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But a person who is willing to project his understanding into what happened as a definition of what happened, nothing has a final. So, Shem Shemayim Levatolo not learn from that pasuk, but in the Kitzur, when he talks about the issue of Shua Sheker, he also talks about the dinner of Shem Shem Levatolo, if I recall correctly. Right? He sees a parallel between the concepts. That if reality and emes is precious to you, so how can you say Hashem's name Levatolo? Hashem's name without recognizing its function, its purpose, what it represents in the Bria. It's not Chaya. So in our minds, it's two different worlds because we don't relate to the world of true emes. That's a problem. The second half of the thought. Welcome on Matunov. That we have a Chazal darshan not to mention from Atola from the Hashem Lekech Tiro that you have to have a year of Mekadosh Baruch Hu's name because that's what represents him in the Bria, and that's what drives the concept of not mentioning Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in a place which is not proper to mention. There's a certain awe that you have for Kadosh Baruch Hu that you. Right. You wouldn't, as it were, take the picture of the king and put it in a certain place. It just wouldn't be respectful. So we don't put a picture of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the mention of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the way we create our connection, our understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu, not Malkum Matum. That's the Rosh. And the connection. So, emes is a fascinating thing when we talk about emes. So there's emes and there's emes. I have the we have paired off back in Tel at one point in time. So Musar Chaverim. Achavus is Chaverim. We had a Musar buddy. Like you go swimming, we have a swimming buddy, we had a Musar buddy. Like, yeah, we learned that almost each one of the Muslims himself, etc. But when it came to working on Indian, we would meet like once a week, and, you know, we'd mechazik each other whenever we were working with it, etc. So I remember one time my Chaver and I, we decided we were going to work on Emes. And where we're going to work on Emes is there's a system from a Sefer called Cheshbon HaNefesh. I mentioned it before, right? So Cheshbon HaNefesh was a Sefer which is fascinating. The Sefer was written by Nachman. Rishul Salanter held very much of the Sefer. He recommended his Talmidim to use it, etc. And Cheshbon HaNefesh has a system of how a person can work on different areas. One of the mainstays of the system is a cheshbon nefesh every day. The person has, in his view, he has 13 columns, excuse me, 13 rows that he has columns through the weeks. And so week number one, meter number one is that he's going to put the 13 rows, 13 different meters, and each one he writes a one or two liner which helps him stay focused on that meter. And the goal is that each week he works on one of them without ignoring the other ones totally, but, you know, but the focus is on one. So the first week is he works on the meter Zrizis, and he has Hevirot Tetzvi, so that's like that's the mantra of the week. The second week he works on the meter of Atronis, and he has that's a person who's lets go of something. Mershom is Michael. You know? So each week he has something to remind him about. So the person working on that is, so now what do you do with that week? At the end of the day, each day you make a cheshbon of how well you did on that meeting. So you take your box, and each time there was an infraction, you put a dot. And the hope is over a period of a year, so you go through this cycle four times in a year, 13 times, four is 52. It's basically a year. Right? You know, you hope that you're going to have less dots in that box at the end of the year, you have at the beginning of the year. Right? So, I look at myself as a fairly honest person. I do. But, you know, there's honesty and there's honesty. Like, take the extreme. One of the Gedolei HaDor was Nifter, and Rav Kotzko Levenstein refused to say a Hesed for him. You know, during the day of the Leviathan, and you know, obviously there's a few people they offered to say, and he said no. And I asked him why not? Said, why would you not want to say Hesman on Gadol? He said he had a. I'm not sure it was a grandson. Was a great nephew. He was a great nephew. Young person that just died suddenly. It just came from that Leviathan, and obviously that's very emotional for him. So come to this Leviathan for this Olam Gadol. He's going to be very emotional. He's going to cry. People will think he's crying because he has such emotions over the loss of this Olam Gadol. That's not really true. part of the reason why he's crying is because he's emotional about the loss of his grandson or great nephew. So it's sheker. So you can't do it. Like, that's what Chazal's picture of. So, like, you know, somebody tells you something, you know, and it's something really you should know, the mice, you don't know, but, you know, you should have known, like, a little embarrassed to say you didn't know. So you nod your head, yeah. Right, that's sheker. I didn't say anything bad, I didn't say anything sheker, I didn't really lie, you know, but you're giving across a false message. So, being the criteria, after the first day, you know, this you know, Reingold is a fairly honest guy, etc. I came up with a lot of dots in that box, and it was enlightening and devastating at the same time. It was like, man, I really got a lot of work to do over here. And like, you know, wow, it's happy I realize this, and like, you know, it's not midar shecher tirfal. It's maybe I didn't speak sheker, but the harchoka from sheker is not. You know, the truth is, honestly, the person says they're going to do something, they don't do it, is also an element of sheker. We spoke about, you know, the chasna issue. So, what are you supposed to do? The person says, you know, please be there on time. I'll be there on time. So I just said, I'll be there on time. Now, the truth is, I'm not going to be there on time, because I'm not going to be there on time anyway. Why? What fool would be there on time? But I said, I'm going to be there on time, because, like, you know, sometimes that's what you say, you know. But I'm not planning to be there on time. Even if I'm planning to be there on time, but then things come up. Okay, that's so bad. What do you mean? You told someone you're going to be somewhere. So my son, the chazan ish was makbid to always daven mincha gedayla. One day, the members of the minyan were not able to show up, and he asked some young man to join him. He said he's happy, he just has to make a phone call because he told somebody he's going to be meeting them at this time, which would be a conflict with the minyan. Because he says, no minyan today. He was mocked without minyan. It wasn't 10 people, it wasn't again. Out of 10 people. But if this person said he's going to be somewhere, he promised somebody something. That's it. The conversation was wrong. So there's no room to maneuver. Like, that was his understanding of Emes. So you understand the Chazon Ish, when he learned the Gemara, he sought the Emes. But in the Gemara is another area where Emes is a challenge. You might have had this experience at some point in your life, you know, when you're arguing with a Harusa. And at some point in time, you argue with a Harusa, you get to the point where your ego starts getting involved, because like, you really are defending your position. So now if your position goes under, it's like, embarrassing to you, because like, you know, you were the guy who got shot raw. So something wrong with you, you know. So you start fighting back, not necessarily to find the emes, because you want to maintain your shot. So, you know, if I'm more skilled at polemics and debating, and I have more knowledge of the Morgamoras, I can convince you anything. Yeah, of course I might, because no. It says in the, you know, right? Well, no, that Gemara says nothing. It says, you know, you're going to look it up, you know. So obviously that's, you know, so that would be blatant. But the time of the Gemara, our mind is not engaging and saying, maybe the person is right. I really need to think about his position and see if he's right. It's supposed to say, no, that's not the Pesha. So if our goal is Emes, our real goal is Emes. So our goal is really Emes. So I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm going to work hard to present my point, ask good questions, but I'm not going to be stubborn. Now, at the end of the day, it turns out the other fellow was right. So what do you say? You know, Baruch Hashem, so excited that you're right. Now we know the Emes of Pshat. I really appreciate the fact that you stood up against the game at our time, because that's where you found the end. That would be like the nice way how the conversation should end. Usually it ends by, I hear. Say, Bethemoli, you're right. No, I can't say Bethemoli, you're right. I hear. I mean, you hear. They play games, you know. So it's sheker. It's a game, you know. So, it's definitely not sheker midrash sheker tirchok. I'm not going to say it's the end of sheker, but the harchok of sheker, that our actions, our physical gestures, it should be, our goal is to convey an honesty, as opposed to protect, you know, and it's extremely hard. So that's Midrash Shachar Tirchov.